Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone in here on this, I don't know what kind of morning we'd call this, another wet morning out there, more rain. But we're inside the cozy corner room here at the courthouse, got the fireplace going, nice and warm. My guests just made it in. They had me worried there for a minute. I think maybe this is their first time to try to find the Clay County Courthouse. It's hard to miss if you come through the middle of town, but a lot of folks still go down to the new government center. Occasionally I get folks coming in wanting to pay a fine or something, and I'll tell them that I'll take cash.
That's right.
If they don't need a receipt.
That's right.
But welcome in, and I tell you what, we've already, I think, maybe run a commercial, but we want to remind everyone that we do come here each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, and there'll be a rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock, and these programs are streamed on the Dale Holla Horizon newspaper website. So you got three opportunities, and then numerous opportunities if you want to go on the website, because it stays there. And like I said, we've got our guests here with us this morning, and we're going to get right into them, and then we'll do a little commercial again later on. I have Miss Celeste Green and Mr. David Kitchen here with us, and they are with I'm looking through their cards here, and it looks like Celeste is actually located over in Chattanooga, maybe, and David says he's just the Tennessee region.
That's right.
And folks, it's great to have you here with us this morning. And I guess looking down through this thing here, I've got a script this morning, folks. The first one is, what brings you folks here to the Clay County Corner this morning?
I thought you'd never ask. And, I have the pleasure of being the Senior Disaster Program Manager for Tennessee. And then Les does volunteer recruitment for many counties. Clay is one of our favorite. We got a great reception the other day and enjoyed our time here. But we're here really for two reasons. The first is that the Red Cross is doing a number of preparedness initiatives. We've always done them, but we are doing more than we ever have, trying to help communities, individuals, families, businesses, all be prepared for disasters or come what may. And the second thing is that Clay County is a place where we desperately need some individuals that want to serve their community, hopefully to volunteer through the Red Cross for what we refer to as disaster action teams. So if someone has a house fire, you'll be able to take some assistance to them as a Red Cross volunteer. So those are really our two goals.
Okay. Now, looking down through this thing, you know what, I'm just going to read through this thing because it's pretty well prepared for me. Most people probably don't know all about the Red Cross programs. I know we're very aware of when an emergency comes up, you know, that's usually the first thing we hear, the Red Cross is on the way.
Yep. We hope to be on the way. And the better prepared we can be in each county, the better off we are. But we have a variety of programs, services to armed forces. People, you're right, probably don't know the extent of our services. But disaster cycle services, responding to disasters, both small and large, is much of what we do. In order to do that, we also do programs to prepare people, like hands-only CPR, Red Cross Ready, Be Ready, a number of things. Pedro for young children. So we have programs in a variety of lines of services. And then when it comes to those programs, we do disaster response. And then we also try to get people prepared themselves so that they know how to respond.
Okay, so this, I mean, I know we're all familiar with, you know, the Red Cross blood drives. We see the blood mobile come by, and I know Miss Suzanne Smith works with that here
right
in Clay County. And sometimes we just kind of in our little secluded area think, well, hey, you know, that's, you know, blood drive. That's what Red Cross does. But golly, folks, it's amazing, you know, when there is a disaster and we see all of the things that go on. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a major disaster for
Red Cross
to be called in.
That's right. In fact, 98% of the disasters that we do are home and residential fires. 98%. So we have large disasters that get a great deal of media, but here in your county, you have a number of home fires, apartment fires, and we want to respond to each of those because that's when individuals, if you're a homeowner or if you're renting a place, that's a disaster to you, to lose the place where you live.
Right, absolutely. And I'm looking through here. I know, of course, when I look in the middle of this page, there's a word that comes up that hits us all right smack dab in the middle of the face, and that's active shooter situation.
Oh, that's right. And again, we have programs that target even active shooter situations, and that's called Red Cross Ready, or Red Cross Ready, yeah. And that is a holistic program for businesses, churches, other organizations where we help them look at their entire readiness, whether it's whether they're able to continue their operation if their building got affected or whether it is active shooters, as you say.
You know, that's something that we all know. And also I see the CPR thing there.
That's right.
I know just a few days ago here in Salina, we had a young lady that who had just had CPR training from the local folks that ran across a heart attack in the parking lot in one of the stores.
Yeah.
And immediately rushed to action. And I know you've also got the thing here where you have some programs that you can go all the way down into the elementary grades at schools and teach. So, you know, the Red Cross is very, very far-reaching at this time, aren't they?
We sure are. And, again, we respond to disasters. We're responding to them right now in East Tennessee. We have a number of shelters open at this very moment because of the flooding there.
Right.
But if you had a house fire right now and you had a mother and two children or whatever standing outside, we want to be able to serve them much quicker. And the way to do that is for a community to serve its community. And so we're hoping there'll be some people in Clay County that really have a heart of compassion for their neighbors and that will partner with the Red Cross and help us provide assistance to those that have been affected by fire and so forth.
Okay, and, you know, I'm looking down through here, like I said, most of us, Red Cross, is there any cost involved with these programs and things?
That's a great question. There are no costs involved in these programs. What we do for the community is our way of not only giving back to the community, but it's also a different approach for helping people deal with disaster. We can respond to it, but it's like FEMA says. FEMA tells every individual that they really ought to be able to sustain themselves for 72 hours. So we want to teach people we're coming. If you'll volunteer with us and be our partner, we can come to your neighbors here in Clay County much quicker. But on top of that, we want businesses, organizations, churches to know how to help their neighbor, as you mentioned, with CPR, with teaching little children how to be ready and to deal with fire or tornadoes or whatever the case may be.
So this is getting us ready to take care of ourselves.
There you go. And I tell you, a county like Clay County, you live that every day, and we realize that. There are counties that are especially noted for neighbors taking care of neighbors, and this is one of them. That's often true, but this county in particular.
You know, that is something that we do have, our volunteer fire department.
That's right.
We have numerous volunteer fire departments all over the county, and I know that a lot of them, but I guess they're all trained in the CPR and that type of thing. But no, as an individual, if I want to take part in this, what would I need to do?
Oh, that is a great question. I'm going to let Celeste in a second tell you exactly the process, but I do want to make one point, and that is it doesn't matter who you are, or what your skill set is. We have volunteers that never leave their home. Our roles that are essential to our mission that they can accomplish and never leave their home. So I just want to make the point that we have a place for everyone. And I'll let Celeste then tell you about volunteering.
Yeah, so over 90% of our workforce at the Red Cross is made up of volunteer efforts. And so we can use anybody with any skill set, any background. One of our primary focuses is this disaster response, and that is what we need the most here in Clay County, is volunteers to take a couple of online training courses and just get acquainted with the Red Cross so that way you can help your neighbor in a time of need. If you're interested in this, the best thing to do is to go to redcross.org. There's a tab that says volunteer, and then you click become a volunteer, and you hit apply now. So a few different steps, but then it takes you to our portal called Volunteer Connection, where you can build your profile in our volunteer portal, and then it takes you through the steps of the application process. Now, if you have any questions, please contact me, Celeste Green. I am in volunteer services, working specifically with recruitment of new volunteers. You can contact me at my email, which is Celeste, C-E-L-E-S-T-E dot Green, that's G-R-E-E-N-E, the number 3, at redcross.org. Or you can call me at my work cell phone number, which is 423-682-0943. I would love to hear, even if you don't have any questions, if you just want to go through the application on your own, please still let me know. I would love to know who's coming through our system so we can keep an eye out for you and get the ball rolling.
Okay, and, you know, looking around in our general area here, how many Red Cross stations, what do we have in this general area here in Middle Tennessee? Are you familiar with that? I know in Cookeville. Are there other places in the area in the smaller towns? I don't think we don't have a station here.
Oh, okay. You're referring to a physical building.
Right, uh-huh.
And that's one of the things I think that confuses people. The Red Cross is not a building. It really is a movement.
Okay.
It's a group of people that share the same passion and the same mission. So we do have chapter buildings in some locations, but that's another thing that we'd love to have here in Clay County, is we would love to have a partnership with someone to where we could provide training. Maybe there's a church listening or there's a business listening, to where we would be able to use that facility right here so that Clay County would have a centralized location to be trained in the Red Cross and to learn about it.
Okay, now that's interesting. I did a search and I saw, you know, there's these stations that were, I think maybe one in Byrdstown, a couple over in Cookeville, and I didn't look any farther than that. And it was something I really didn't realize that was actually happening with Red Cross.
Well, you may be referring also to some services to Armed Forces things,
right.
So we have a whole variety. Right. But again, as we mentioned earlier, I cover the whole state of Tennessee. And one of the things I often try to clarify for people is we're not a building. We are a group of volunteers and a group of people that have a passion for helping our neighbor. But we cannot help the people of Clay County like someone from Clay County can.
Right.
Exactly.
Every neighbor wants to be served by their neighbor, and they feel more comfortable in that. Not only that, but we don't want people waiting 2 hours before we can get here. We want somebody from Clay County going immediately to help that mom and two kids or whatever and provide financial assistance and get them on the road to recovery immediately.
Okay, right now let's take a little short break, work in a little commercial. We'll come back, and I'm going to apologize to you folks. I didn't let you really truly introduce yourselves when you come in and let the folks know who you are. We'll start off with that when we come back, and we will talk a little bit more about the setting up the disaster folks here in Clay County. We'll be right back.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
Needs to be a wash in the tub.
Clean. Wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rinse cycle.
Separate. Keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook. Make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole.
And chill. Refrigerate food promptly.
Bingo.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Sweetie, want some fruit?
You have to use the right tool for the job. A power drill is the wrong tool to slice fruit. Just like an antibiotic is the wrong tool to treat viruses, including colds and flu. Antibiotics are only needed for certain bacterial infections. When they aren't needed, antibiotics won't help you, and the side effects could still hurt you. Ask your healthcare professional when an antibiotic is the right tool and when it's not. Visit cdc.gov/antibiotic-use.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Back, everyone. While we were gone, I decided, you know, we might ought to let these folks really introduce themselves, tell us who they are, where they're from, and things like that. Celeste, we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, my name is Celeste Green. I am a regional employee, which means I do cover the entire state of Tennessee. I am the volunteer recruitment specialist, so my focus is going out, seeking potential volunteers, and just educating the community on who we are as the Red Cross and what we do to serve the local communities. But I specifically cover 27 counties right now, and Clay County is definitely one of our greatest focuses.
Okay, now are you a born and bred Tennessean?
I sure am. Chattanooga born and raised.
Down in Chattanooga?
Yes, sir.
Very good. And educated in Chattanooga?
Actually, I went to school in Johnson City at ETSU. I got my degree in public health, and I minored in emergency management. So kind of ties all of my interests together here at the Red Cross.
Very good. And Mr. Kitchen?
Well, my name is David Kitchen, and I also am a native Tennessean. In fact, I've lived my whole life very close to late great Andrew Jackson there in Hermitage. So I've been around that area my whole life. I am retired from the Metro Nashville Fire Department, was a firefighter and paramedic there for many years, and then over at the fire marshal's office. And when I retired, I had the opportunity to become associated with the Red Cross, and I often tell people that these 13 years that I've been able to work with the Red Cross, I thought I would never really be proud of anything the way I have been proud of being associated with the fire department. But I'm prouder of the work that we do with the Red Cross than really anything I've ever done.
Okay, and I know we're talking about the disaster action team for Clay County. Now, exactly what do we need to do? What needs to happen here in Clay County? Is there a single person? Maybe we're looking for a leader, or or a group of people, or how do we go about that?
That's a great question. Of course, everything needs leadership. To be a disaster action team, it requires two people. You never want to send anybody out by themselves for safety reasons. So you need two people, and those individuals, there would be some training involved, and we would absolutely work with them. And then those two individuals, if we could get more to join them, that would be great. But you have to begin somewhere.
Okay, and how do we go about getting this started? I mean, I know you guys are here today. I know social media, getting the word out, hopefully. Are you looking to maybe, directly maybe do some stories in our local papers?
Oh, that'd be great. And we know that later on today, I think we're going to Jackson County, where the EMA director there, I believe, we had a conversation with, and he actually has identified for us some people in the community that are going to be working with us. So much of what we do are people that say, you know what, we need to have this active in our community. And they actually go out and seek to identify some people that might be interested in doing this and then try to connect us. So if you're listening, whether you're interested or whether you know someone that might be interested, please give us a call. And, of course, you've got my card as well as Celeste, and we welcome your direct phone calls to our numbers, and we would love to talk to you.
Well, do you have any prepared PR stuff that maybe you could share with us and that we could share on our website and that type of thing? Celeste?
Yeah, we definitely do. I can share that with you. We also make it a regular habit to share information with local community groups, whether it be through a church, a civic group, a club, whatever it is. I travel regularly just to share, whether it's through a conversation or a brief presentation. So if there's any group that's interested in partnering, so they can say, our church is the Red Cross team here in Clay County, we would love to do that.
Oh, yeah.
So even if you'd like just for us to come share information with your group, give us a call. We would love to come back up to town and share that information with you.
Okay. And I know, let's talk just a little bit. I know as the fireman in Nashville, you had all kinds of action down there over the years. But have you actually, been a part of missions that had to be on call and make a run, place Richard in the last little bit?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I have worked Hurricane Sandy in New York City, the North Dakota floods. I have been all over the United States working disasters. And then here in Tennessee, in like manner, just a couple months ago, I directed the disaster that was really where we had straight line winds come in and affect a number of counties where there ended up being about 350 homes destroyed. So I respond to large disasters in a variety of roles, but then we also help with disaster action teams. We want to do anything that we can. So we do big things and smaller things. And I can tell you story after story of the amazing thing about seeing lives impacted and changed. And probably one of the most amazing things about the Red Cross, whether you've been flooded out of your home or whether you've had a fire, when we walk up and we're wearing a Red Cross vest, the most beautiful thing in the world is to see a face that looks hopeless all of a sudden have a smile and a look of hope on their face because they know the Red Cross is there.
Well, growing up my age, we can always remember being in the beginning of the television age, you know, of the news stories, when something happened, you know, that was always the first thing you saw was a Red Cross volunteer there. That was there, and the Red Cross was there. And I know that that's still true, but I know you're talking about being on site. People that see these things on the TV or wherever now, they really can't imagine the atmosphere, of a catastrophe, of being in the middle of it and looking around and seeing city block after city block that had either been flooded or there's not a house left standing in 10 or 15 blocks with a roof on it.
I have photographs that I've taken as I've gone out and done damage assessment in different places that would break your heart, of homes literally picked up and flipped upside down, of trees that have gone all the way through a home, about everything that you could possibly imagine. And again, a disaster action team not only can respond to fires and so forth, but if they choose to, they can play a very important lead role in the county. When something would happen here, they would lead much of our relationship to give us information to let us know exactly what we needed to rally up in order to come make a large response here.
Okay. And I do know here, like, our response team here in Lovey's Courthouse folks.
Oh.
And our public utility folks here, our telephone company and our electric company. Do you ever partner with some of those folks? And were there maybe a leader of a disaster relief team or someone within the Tri-County Electric Group?
We partner with anyone and everyone. Your EMA director here is wonderful.
She is.
She is great. And your volunteer fire departments, we partner with all of them. Whenever there is an event that happens, there's actually an emergency response framework in our nation that gives us some predefined things that we do. So we can't do those things without working with your EMA, without working with your fire department. But there are other partners that we need. Churches, for example. The Red Cross doesn't own any buildings for shelters. And so probably 95% or more of the buildings that we use as shelters during a disaster are churches that we've done a conversation with in advance. We also have, as Celeste was alluding to, we have what we call dual branding partnership, which is to say, if there's a church here in town, we don't want to take their identity. We want to partner with them. And it is great to see an individual with that Clay County Methodist or Clay County Baptist Church or whatever, and also wearing a Red Cross vest, to where the people of the community know that that also is a part of the outreach even of their church, for example.
Yeah, and I know, of course, Natalie, down there, we do have a disaster program in place here in Clay County. We had the big scare, you know, when they were talking about Wolf River going to break, and we have, of course, certain places in the county for shelters and things like that. So,
and those are very important. The services that we provide then build upon that. We bring in resources, we bring in cots, we bring in food. We can bring in emergency distribution items, whatever might be needed, and on. So it takes all of us working together, really, in order to be able to take care of the community.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you folks for being here this morning. And I know some valuable information that you've given us, and we really appreciate it. And hopefully we can get our disaster action team in place here and find that special volunteer that will be a leader in that. And I know, I'm sure as you go out, you'll stop by over at the chamber and talk to Kevin a few minutes.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get some things going on our website and things here. But it's been a pleasure having you.
Well, we welcome you to post our information on the website.
Yes, and like I said, if you'll get me some PR stuff here, we'll get that up and get it shared. But I sure appreciate you coming by and be with us this morning. And we will, before we do our little break here, I'm going to let that you guys can listen to our list of birthdays for today, where we're going to be giving away a birthday cake toward the end of the show. And I'll do that right now, and then we'll take a little break, and we have our other guests coming in. But I really appreciate you being with us, and you're welcome to come back at any time. Just get me an email, and we'll schedule a time for you, and we'll do this again.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you having us.
Okay, celebrating birthdays this past week. We will go first off with Mr. Wendell Cherry, who celebrated on February the 6th. Mom and Dad called that in. Mr. Quentin Gass on the 5th. His family and friends called in his birthday. And also we have Jaden Cox, who celebrated her 5th birthday this week. And this is called in by Nana and Papa. And going on down through our list, folks celebrating birthdays this week, Miss Betty Scott celebrated a birthday. Mr. Bobby Bartlett celebrated a birthday. Miss Peggy Denton celebrated a birthday. Gary Tinsley celebrated a birthday. Andrea Roberts-Hull, one of my former students, celebrated a birthday. Well, Gary was a former student also, and also Mr. Jim Lynn. I think Mr. Jim Lynn was with the emergency folks down over in Putnam County for a number of years. So with that, remind everyone that we'll be drawing a name out here in a little bit, 243-5574, and that'll get your name on the list. And with that, we'll take a little short break, and Mr. Darren Sheldon is here with us here to do a little bit of talking. Thank you all for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
This will be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rinse cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
Bingo!
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Sweetie, want some fruit?
You have to use the right tool for the job. A power drill is the wrong tool to slice fruit. Just like an antibiotic is the wrong tool to treat viruses, including colds and flu. Antibiotics are only needed for certain bacterial infections. When they aren't needed, antibiotics won't help you, and the side effects could still hurt you. Ask your healthcare professional when an antibiotic is the right tool and when it's not. Visit cdc.gov/antibiotic-use.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Sitting here while we were off air chatting with Mr. Darren Shell, who is a resident of Clay County, but he throughout his life, I think he's been more attached to Overton County than he has to Clay.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. Formerly, his family owned Willow Grove Boat Dock, and I think that has changed hands recently, but I think he still hangs around down there some. And
I hang out at the end of the hole at the end of the road. Thankfully, there's whole water there.
He has written a number of books, and I started, I think, writing with the history in and around Willow Grove and the Sunken City and things like that. And, you know, here in Clay County, we're celebrating the 150-year celebration. And a lot of folks are doing some investigating of Willow Grove and that area up there. And I know he has done quite a few studies of, I think he actually started with the moving of the cemeteries up in that area. But, you know, as an old basketball coach, I've been going through and trying to find some history on the basketball team up there, which is one of the best in Middle Tennessee at one time. And, you know, the old newspapers.com has a lot of stuff on that type of thing, and I'm sure Darren may have used that too. And you run across names, but, you know, when you start looking at your ancestors, which everybody in Clay County is trying to do now, and there's so many things there. I know, Darren, when I look at your website here, beautiful website, nice and bright.
It's prettier than me.
I look now through this list, and I know a couple of things that are really, really interesting to the folks here in this area, and that are the books about Willow Grove and the moving of the cemeteries and the books that you've written about the fishing and things like that in and around Dale Hollow Lake. But if you would, Darren, introduce yourself to us and tell the folks a little bit about yourself and how all this got started.
I would be tickled. My name is Darren Schell, and I am from East Clay County. I moved here when I was very young from out of state, and it surprised me that there was very little documentation available to people that wanted to learn about the lake history. I mean, I would be on the water looking at foundations and things, thinking, wow, there was a house here. Who could have been? And I've spent most of my life studying. And it was fascinating to me that very few people had written very much about the lake, about how it was made. And it was a very traumatic time for the people that had to move and, you know, uproot their family and move away. So I took it upon myself. I was worthy of doing so, but no one else had done it. So I said, I think it should be done. So I tried to document all the graves, and I've met a lot of people along the way that have really helped me share the history of this lake prior to building and afterward.
I know Miss Nivens here in Salina has written a book about her family's move from there. And she's been with us a couple of times. And, you know, finding information like that,
you got to dig deep. You got to dig deep. And the Corps of Engineers has helped me. They've given me some things, and I've mapped my own, you know, made my own maps as well. But, yes, Miss Nivens was prior to me. And she was one of the few that actually, you know, jotted it down, put it on paper.
You know, and of course, I think a lot of the folks just kind of wanted to forget about it, didn't they?
Some of them that were so heartbroken that it was just null and void. It was just literally something that they just couldn't even handle. It was almost like a death of a loved one having to leave their home place.
You know, like you said, it has to be devastating when someone comes in and says, hey, you got to get out.
You got a note on your door that says you got to leave, and this is where their grandfathers tilled the soil for 100 years. It was devastating.
Okay, and looking at a couple of the books, I know you said the history of Dale Hollow Lake, and when I know your comb bound books. I don't know where they're. I guess you still might do some of them, but
some of those on request.
And I have. Carefully look through some of those and the maps and things, and
those are the fun part.
Those are the fun part with all markings of all the cemeteries. I mean, did you ever do a total of the number of cemeteries that were covered up there?
106, I think.
106.
106. Some of them were just single graves, but many of them were bigger. And I've been to all of them. I mapped all of them, other than the ones that were underwater where I couldn't actually see. But the ones that were above ground and near ground. That's where the story started with me. with the ones that were right in the floodplain where the water would go up and down and wash them out, and that's where I'm the one that let the cat out of the bag and showed people what they were, and I'm not sure if that was good or bad. It has sparked a real interest in the history of the lake.
And that history, of course, it is a part of our Clay County history, and you know, I really compliment you on that, and I know it's been a how many year undertaking since you started this.
It took me about 10 years to get the history book together, and that was probably 10 years ago. But it's been a fascinating journey because I've got to meet the people that lived there, and many of them are, of course, deceased now.
Right.
But I happened to be along just in time where I could glean some pictures and catch their stories and be able to retell them in a fun way.
And when that, if you look through, I know the library down here has got a couple of books, and I think Darren has gratefully said that he'll try to make sure they have some more of his
many
books that'll go out on the shelves where people can pick them up. And folks, if you haven't read some of his books, now I think I read a couple of them. Mr. Hendrick had some of them up at the store here, and when I would go up there and kind of loaf around, sit around, I would pick one up. I've been cheap and didn't buy it.
Crazy old toot. He's something else.
But I would pick it up and read through those things, and read, you know, a couple of three of them, and you know, and like I said, it totally amazed me when I went online and looked at his stuff and looked at the number. I believe there's like 19 or 20 books that you have authored over the years, and they range from, like you said, the history of Dale Hollow Lake, Willow Grove area.
That's my claim to fame, is Willow Grove.
To
yeah.
Look like what we might call middle age stories, out of the Middle Ages of, you know, the fairy tales and things.
Oh, yeah.
So, you must have had a very interesting childhood.
I did. I moved here from out of state, and I was completely out of place. At age 13, I went to a small grade school, Independence, which is over at Willow Grove. So, I went there after attending a 1,500-student school from Indiana to here. So, yeah, that was a big game changer for me. That was a big, strange thing. But it taught me a lot about the local folks and how tight they really were.
Well, I guess Mr. Wilbur was still there then, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Mr. Wilbur Smith?
Wilbur Smith, that old toot. He's a hoot, Dolphin Style, and many others. So.
I've known Mr. Wilbur C. for a long time because he was the basketball coach up when I was in high school.
Yeah, your arch enemy almost, all right?
I know we had some of the students up there would come down to Salina High School. A few of them did, but most of them did go on up to Livingston because
it was
a long trip.
Yeah.
It's a long way over there. And
we
I know the stories that I think it's you started the first story to tell your daughter about some of these things. You just kind of wrote you a short story and thought, hey, I like this.
You've done your homework.
Like I said,
she was so, we told an old ghost story is what we did, and it encompassed the making of the lake and the graves and the moved graves. But yes, I started out telling that story to my daughter as a bedtime story.
And I know if they look at the graveyard book, you have a number of the legends and stories that are between the maps in there that are very, very interesting reading. You know, the maps aren't all that interesting.
Looking at the map.
Trying to find
stories behind the map.
But then the stories behind the maps with the ghosts. And we've got a Spanish gold hit somewhere on the lake.
Oh, yes. It's supposed to be there, and I've been there, and I can't find it. I haven't found it yet, but... Yeah.
Falling down into secret rooms where Indian artifacts are at. I mean, some great stories are there.
I've been blessed to have been told some great stories, and I've tried to reshare them.
All right, we've got to take a little short break, get some commercials in, and we're going to come back and talk about Dale Hollow Lake fishing just a little bit.
Let's do it.
And maybe a controversy that you was involved in a little bit. And we'll talk about that. We'll be back just in a minute.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
This will be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rain cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
Bingo.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Sweetie, want some fruit?
You have to use the right tool for the job. A power drill is the wrong tool to slice fruit. Just like an antibiotic is the wrong tool to treat viruses, including colds and flu. Antibiotics are only needed for certain bacterial infections. When they aren't needed, antibiotics won't help you, and the side effects could still hurt you. Ask your healthcare professional when an antibiotic is the right tool and when it's not. Visit cdc.gov/antibiotic-use.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, like I said, I've got Darren Shell here with me this morning, and we've been talking a little bit more about the area in and around Dale Hollow Lake, and one of his most popular books is one, it's called, what is it, The Big Ones?
The Big Ones.
And if you're familiar with Dale Hollow Lake, you know what we're talking about.
And the Big Golden Smallmouth.
The Big Old Smallmouth. One of my favorite pastimes. Of course, I'm one of these minnow fishermen. I'm a lazy fisherman.
Me too. But it's supposed to be fun, right?
Yeah, but it is.
I'm a fair weather fisherman.
Yeah, I mean, this other stuff gets to be work.
It gets to be hard work.
And, you know, some of the, I know there's a list in there, you know, that for a number of years, we were highly publicized all over the United States, Canada, and everywhere, as the smallmouth capital of the world. And, of course, that kind of faded out for a little while. But the interest is back again now, thanks to TRW and a thing called the Slot. You know, we've got our bass coming back. But folks, if you haven't looked and seen some of the old pictures of some of the fish that came out of this lake, probably when the first 10 to 12 years that it was impounded, it's totally unbelievable of the natural fish that actually, once they got impounded here, how fat and sizey they got, isn't it, Larry?
It is fascinating. The actual world record when it was caught, it was exactly the same age as the lake. So it was clearly a river fish when it was caught. But you can tell the age of a fish by looking at its scales. It has scales almost like a tree has rings when you cut it. And, it was a 13-year-old fish when he caught it. And it was the greatest, longest, biggest one. And I was able to sit with him in his living room, and he told me the story, and it was fascinating.
Well, you want to tell us a little bit about the story of catching that fish?
He had caught it once before and lost it and spent the next remaining few years of his life hunting down that fish. And that was back in 1955, I think it was. So, but yeah, he hunted hard for that fish, and he trolled and trolled and trolled and finally did catch the guy.
You know, I think that's one of the stories that I didn't refresh myself on, of he and his buddy coming out of the boat dock up in, I guess, the Wisdom up in
the went and checked it in at Wisdom.
Below zero weather.
It's cold, snowy, and nasty, and he knew he had a big fish, but I don't think he knew how big a fish he had.
I don't know where that, I can't, did he get to look at it then?
He pulled
it. Yeah, I believe it came up and threw it out, didn't it?
They measured it and everything else, so even with the controversy that happened, it's still the longest fish with the biggest girth. I mean, you can't lie against numbers. There was a lot of telltale things.
Well, you know, you've kind of led yourself into that. That is the controversy on that.
The controversy was that they had stuffed motor parts and stuff in it, which was silly. I mean, they measured the fish, and the measurements don't lie. So it was taken away from him and then reinstated, and now it's where it needs to be. And he's still alive. He lives up in middle Kentucky. Wonderful man.
Yes, he is, and I think he eventually ventures back down this way.
Sometimes he comes down. When he last came to Tennessee, it was problematic. That's where all the trouble started. And but then when the fellow passed away that had the claims, he recanted as he was dying.
Yeah, I know that. It's kind of interesting. You know, it's kind of a little mystery story there.
It is.
You know, all at once after so many years.
Yeah, why would you bring it up now?
These stories come up, and for some reason or other, I guess TWRA and the association that certifies these things, all at once they kind of decided, hey.
And Dale Hollow claims more than just the world record smallmouth. Of the top 25 biggest smallmouth bass in the world, in America, we hold 10 of the top 25, and we hold the top 3.
So really all that did was move another Dale Hollow fish up.
It swapped one, and then they swapped back. Yeah, number two, that fellow passed away, and he didn't even know he gained number one status, and then it went, and then all of a sudden they took it back from him. So it was rather sad there, but I met the man at number three slot, and that was a magnificent fish too. So those top three are Dale Hollows, and we have 10 of the top 25, a couple of which were Billy Westmoreland's.
Right. And
East, or Clay County's.
You know, and I can remember years ago when I worked the night shift up at Cedar Hill Boat Dock, of the pictures on the wall with Mr. Bobby Stone holding that fish up when it was brought up there, and Mr. Dick Roberts, all those folks that were
Dick
there.
Dick was fascinating, though.
And really, you know, I know.
There was nothing bad went on there. It was just whenever you get a world record with anything, it can be jealousy and other things go into place, but they handled it well. They handled it well.
And it Robert is back now. It's reinstated where it should be.
It's right back where it should be.
And, of course, most of the folks involved with that are actually gone now.
Mm-hmm.
But I know Dickie Roberts, Jr., of course, he's still around. And he was a youngster up there then, and I guess he may be the only living witness that was there at the dock at the time the fish may have been brought in.
Probably so. And it was such a magnificent fish that it took them a long time to get it. I mean, back then, this day and age, we would have photos and measurements and all sorts of things in instance where it took a long time back then.
You know, I can remember, you know, back in the middle 70s, I think that mount actually hang on the wall there at Cedar Hill, and it was the same mount that had been there since it was mounted, and it really wasn't, that big a deal to anyone until, I guess, you know, Bassmasters and all those things came around. And, of course, Billy Westmoreland won some fishing contests and things.
He had some in the 10-pound range, which was really close. And
he had a bunch of those. And, of course, he's also written a couple of books about fishing on Dale Hollow Lake.
That's what got me to write a book in the first place.
Which is all out of print now also. Of course, he was a great spokesman for this lake. And I know that
he promoted Dale Hollow a lot.
He promoted it. And, you know, a lot of folks, sometimes when they move out into things like that, they'll just say, you know, they're from Tennessee. But, you know, you did with Billy.
He pinpointed it.
With Billy, you said, you know, he was Dale Hollow Lake, Salina, Tennessee, was where he was from.
My brown smallmouth.
My brown
smallmouth. My smallmouth. You're coming to catch my smallmouth.
And
he's a hoot.
He
was a hoot.
Yes, he was. And like I said, our lake here, I know us local folks, you know, sometimes we take it for granted. You know, we grew up with sticking our feet in it and that type thing. And I guess a lot of us didn't realize the treasure that we had around.
The Ohio is so much better a lake than many other people that think they have a good lake, and they come here, they say, oh my word. I mean, the visibility, everything about the lake is truly special. Truly special and out of character for almost any lake in the country.
Well, you know, when you said that you came here when you were 13 years old, you brought in a little different perspective.
I did. I grew up in the mud puddles they called lakes, you know.
And, you know, it gave you a little bit of a different background and showed you what you were, where you were leaving and where you were coming to.
Every piece of history I could glean, I absolutely took and I ran with it. I loved it that much.
Okay, and I looked on your education thing. You went to Livingston Academy.
Of course.
Post-high school education?
Only in motors, boat motors. I've been a boat mechanic for my whole life, and I do, well, paint boats, and I work on all the things that no one else wants to work on.
See, I think I ran across that in one of your little statements there where you were restoring an old boat. I had done
some of that, too.
I think I even wrote a little bit of poetry in some of these.
I had some poems that I put out there. I'm not excessively proud of those like I am some of my books, but yes, they were fun.
Okay, let's just kind of quickly, golly, we're about to run out of time. I'm going to look down through here, and I know the life, smallmouth, history of the old lady of the lake was a legend of a ghost on the lake. Death Wish.
That's a strange one. It's fiction, so it's not historically based.
Okay. And Lost Treasure.
That's a wonderful story of how Willow Grove, the city of Willow Grove, dealt with the moving and building of the lake.
And I know you've got one here about hospice care, which I'm sure is a very close subject to you.
Yes.
And then I look at the prophecy of the rhymes of...
Oh, yeah, that's a whole trilogy. Yeah, that's just all fun stuff like Lord of the Rings or something.
And then I know you've got the old Union Church, the graveyard tour. Do you still do your tours?
I do not do my tours other than special requests, just because there's not enough of me to go around sometimes. But I've done a lot of those ghost tours at the lake and in Livingston and occasionally here in Salina, but very rarely.
And I look down through, nothing private. I think that's where I read the little thing about the boat.
It was kind of me telling my own story.
Stories of Dale Hollow Lake?
That was the first one I wrote about history, and I'm not even sure you can get that anymore, but almost everything in that one is in the new history.
Yeah, and I look at a stone's throw. That kind of hit me.
I did a lot up there, and I had to learn to speak their language when I went to Monroe County. I mean, they looked at me pretty strange there, and I wanted to tell their story because it was funny and yet so remarkably historic. I wanted to tell the story. And some of them got offended by the humor that I put in it.
Well, you know, if you can't laugh at yourself...
I was laughing at myself the whole time I wrote it, but
you know,
it was great.
You know, it is, when you sit back and look at it, it is kind of funny that grown men out wandering around in a dirt pile playing with marbles.
And went over and met the queen because they were that good.
But, you know, the thing about that, you know, that's a hot subject right now, and we're looking at maybe one of these days having a little roly-hole marble museum here in the courthouse.
That would be wonderful.
Dumas Walker, my mother's first cousin.
Wow.
So, you know, those type things. But that's one I didn't read, but I definitely want to read that one. And I see a story here out of Chattanooga.
I had one about the steamship, the paddle wheel boat that was down there. And it is fiction, but it's based on the real people.
And I just got a thing in my ear that says I got to wrap this thing up.
Wrap it up.
Would you hand me that thing right over there real quick? They're telling me, yeah. Just reach in there. I'll pull out one of them, and we're going to give away a cake here.
Oh.
See whichever one falls out first.
I've had a good time today. Thank you.
Hey, and I want you to come back again as often as you can. Looks like the winner of our cake today is Wendell Cherry.
Wendell Cherry. He was in the book, the marble book.
Do you know Wendell? Wendell's the national shotgun shooter.
I didn't know that either.
World champion.
Ooh.
Miles area.
Oh,
with
my
that, Wendell,
my
you have won the
really
cake, and I know Mom and Dad will come over and pick it up for you. Darren, it's been a pleasure having you here. And folks, remember this. Darren is going to be back during the sesquicentennial celebration, and he's going to have a bunch of his books with him, and he's going to be telling stories. And golly, he could tell stories for, I know, at least 3 days straight.
I could bore you to death.
So far, you haven't been able to do that.
Thank you,
Darren, for being with us. With that, I guess it's time we shut the doors here. We've got everything put up. May the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you again here next week on WBFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. Tune in at 6 o'clock tonight. And with that, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them, or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.